Well, praise the Lord this morning. Aren't you glad for the Lord? Amen. Thank you, Dave, for sharing that powerful song with us. And I truly hope that we're willing to allow the Lord to come and lead us and move on us as He is this morning in such a sweet way. Well, praise His name this morning. So glad for all of you that have been able to join us this morning. All of you that are also joining us online, we're glad to have you with us. And it's good to have our visitors with us this morning. We want to welcome you and hope that you're enjoying worshiping the Lord. And I did want to just take a moment. I do believe that we have an anniversary in our church. Carl and Norma, I believe it's 64 years. Woo! Praise the Lord for that. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Absolutely. Well, there's no question we serve an amazing God that does amazing things, and we just continue to want to worship Him and enjoy all that God has for us. And boy, as you know, we've got some Easter services coming. Dave mentioned all those to you, and there is in the foyer a green sheet like this that some of these things have already happened, but that's okay. All our Easter services are on here, and this is basically an invitation for you to share with somebody else, invite them for Easter services, and that invitation for people to join us is so important, and has a tremendous effect on the lives of others. I remember many years ago, a young boy by the name of Jason, stopped me on my bicycle. I was about, 14 years old. And he thought I had a really cool bike. I thought I did too. But when you're 14, you know, you think a lot of things that you don't think so much about when you're older. But nonetheless, he stopped me and said, "Hey, you want to go to Sunday school with me?" And I said, "Why not?" Because of that invitation so many years ago, I'm here today. And so invitations are vitally important to the work of the kingdom. And I want to encourage you to grab one of those green sheets on your way out this morning. Share that with your family, your neighbors, your veterinarian, your dentist, and whoever it might be. Invite somebody to join us for Easter services. And we don't have to wait to Easter to invite. We can invite for next Sunday. And so we encourage you to share an invitation with somebody and let them know what's happening here at Dover Hill. And we'd love to have them to be part of what we're doing in this Easter season. And speaking of doing in this Easter season, we're going to continue sharing about spiritual disciplines. We've talked about, Dave talked about prayer, and we've talked about fasting, and we've talked about devotional time. And I would like to take a few moments today and look at meditation. Yes, I did say meditation. Meditation is a spiritual discipline. But truth is, we often don't talk about it in the evangelical church. When we think of meditation, we tend to think of maybe yoga or some Eastern religions like Buddhism or Shintoism or any of those types of religion. But I want you to know this morning, it is very biblical to meditate. And so it is a Christian, biblical discipline. Lots of other things have taken that, but I want you to know this morning it is very biblical, and we're going to be talking about that. And as I was thinking about meditation and the message this Sunday, I thought it's always interesting how God works. I shared with you last week about devotionals and shared that I just picked this new devotional up simply because it said campfire on it is what caught my attention. And many of you know how much I enjoy a good campfire. Nothing like having a good campfire and making some s'mores. That's got some smiles this morning. There's nothing like a good s'mores at a good campfire. And so anyway, I want to take a moment because it's just amazing how the Lord works. And actually, meditation can be part of our devotional life, but it was just amazing to me. I shared about devotionals, sharing about meditation this week, and the first devotional thought in this book about campfires and devotion is in a sense about this concept of quietness, stillness before the Lord. And I just thought it was interesting, so I want to take a moment and share it with you. It says, sitting around a campfire is one of the simplest ways to draw out our deep-seated desire to slow down, reflect, and listen. That's really at the foundation of meditation. The crackle and pop of the wood has mesmerizing effects. Oh, it absolutely does. That keeps us still and thoughtful. It goes with the flicker of the flames perfectly, creating an experience our senses want to return to again and again. And I love this statement. A whisper from God is worth a thousand sermons. And I'm the pastor. I'm the one that does the preaching. A whisper from God, that's good stuff. A whisper from God is worth a thousand sermons, isn't it? It happens, listen to this, it happens when we create a space to listen for a moment and hear what our hearts need to hear and to carry us through this battered world. We serve an attentive and personal God who loves every part of us and knows the encouragement we need and when we need it most. Our busy days, and this is often what keeps us from this moment of stillness, our busy days can become barriers to being still. They distract us from listening to God. And before we know it, we get to a point of feeling discouraged without really knowing why. Wisdom tells us to listen and to remember ourselves of, and to remind ourselves of the unfailing love of our unchanging God. He's with us at all times, and He's ready to speak the words that will teach us and tell us we're loved completely and without condition. Love pours in, and insecurities are pushed out. The key is to keep listening and letting love in as often as we can. Our spirits are wholly bound to God's, and we need to spend time with Him in order to live in the fullness He wants for us. We can't let the cares of this world put cracks in the trust, peace, and joy we've been given in Him. It's good to plan more time to sit and listen, not only to the crackle and pop of firewood, but to the loving whispers of our faithful Father. What a powerful thought when we come to this place of thinking about meditation. And so I believe that Psalms 46:10, and this is one of my favorite verses. I have lots of favorite verses, like I have lots of top 10 songs. There might be 100 of them in there. And so maybe it's 10 times. I don't know. But anyway, this is kind of the same thing with these the verses of Scripture. But Psalms 46:10 is one of my favorite verses. And I believe that it sets for us a biblical standard for this thing of meditation. So let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would, and let's turn over to Psalm 46, verse 10 this morning. 46, verse 10. Appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word. Psalm 46, 10. Just one verse this morning, but boy, there's so much that's represented here for us this morning as we begin to think about this thing of meditation. And so Psalm 46, 10 shares with us, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Join us for a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are so thankful to be able to gather and to worship and to pray and Lord, to hear your word. And this morning, as we come to your word, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to this concept of truly being still before you and to take a few moments, Lord, just to listen to you and for you. And so, Lord, I ask as we think about these spiritual disciplines, Lord, that you would continue to stir our heart and help us, Lord, to draw closer to you. And as we come to your word this morning, we ask that you would just stir us and help us, Lord, once again to understand how important it is to have spiritual disciplines in our life. And so, Lord, I ask that you allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the word. We desire to be used of you this morning. We ask in your precious name and amen. You may be seated this morning as we take a few moments and share with you in regard to spiritual disciplines, meditation. And so as we've done in the past, if we're going to talk about meditation, we really need to understand what is meditation. And so that's the first thing that we want to share with you this morning is what is meditation. And I always just do it because I'm a word guy. I love to go to the dictionary and just look. And this was so helpful. Meditation is the act of meditating. I thought, gee, that's helpful. Wasn't very helpful, of course, but if you look up the word meditating, because, you know, there's all kind of forms of words, it helps out a little bit better, but just to give us a little bit of a foundation, we would understand that meditating is contemplation of spiritual matters. And so when we really talk about meditating, it is this concept of taking some time and thinking about spiritual things. I don't think that's too difficult to understand, but it is. It's really about taking time and thinking about spiritual matters. To go a little deeper, it would be defined as devout religious contemplation or spiritual introspection. That's a lot of words, isn't it? And I thought to myself, if that helps you define what meditation is, you almost have to go back and look at what contemplation and introspection is. To get this concept of meditation. But to put it in words like most of us can enjoy, it's a continued or extended thought pattern. So when we think about meditation, it really is a moment to think about godly things. That's what meditation really is. It's a moment in our life where we pause from everything else. And I know there's a lot of everything else out there, and we get easily distracted by lots of shiny objects, but this concept of meditation is taking a few moments and thinking about godly things and spending a moment, if we can, catch this, being still. I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit, but everybody that knows me, especially my family, knows that I don't do still well. Except around the campfire. I can do that. I love sitting by the fire. I can do still there, but any other time, I have to be doing something for some reason. That's just kind of the way I'm wired. And so this whole concept of being still for me is a little difficult at times. And so some of you may have that scenario too. And then there's the opposite of that. Some people sometimes are probably still too long. They have a word for that, and I'm not going to say that. Oh, you're not either, huh? Okay, that's all right. But this concept of meditation is this idea of being still before the Lord, and we're going to talk more about that as we do address Psalm 46:10 this morning. But it's being still before the Lord and thinking about godly things. And so that really is what meditation is. And I do think it's unfortunate for the Christian church and for the believer that unfortunately all the other religions of the world and other concept has almost stolen that concept from us of meditating before the Lord. That is a godly thing. And it's something I believe can be very helpful to us in different times in our life, and is definitely a spiritual discipline. It's a moment for us to grow closer to the Lord, the spending time with Him, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Not only did we want to understand this definition of meditation, but I told you that it was a biblical scenario, and that meditation is very biblical, and so we wanted to share some biblical examples with you this morning in regard to this concept of meditation. And so the first one I want to share with us is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And remember, meditation is thinking about godly things. And so here the Apostle Paul is sharing with the church at Philippi, chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Some translations might say, think on these things. And so we have a whole list of what I want to refer to as godly things, very good things this morning, things that are true, things that are noble, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, things that are of virtue, or if there's anything praiseworthy about them. Paul says to the Philippian church, think about these things, meditate on these things, and we know that all these things are of the Lord. And so when we think about meditation, we see here in Philippians that taking some time to think about godly things is important in the life of the believer. But we also see over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, shares with us another example of stillness and thought before the Lord. And I absolutely love what's happening here in this passage of Scripture. It says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. I love that thought. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. This is a meditation moment in regard to the deep things of God. Anytime we talk about deep things of God, I'm interested. God, there's so much to know. And of course, Paul shares with us that we know those things through the work of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness to our soul, the things of God. But if that's going to happen, we have to take a moment. We have to create some space, some stillness, and to be able to spend some time with the Lord. I always think about, when I think about the deep things of God and understanding them, I do believe it requires time. It requires time spent with God. I've shared with you so many times about knowing somebody and knowing somebody. There is a big difference. There's lots of people I know, but there's a certain group of people I know. I shared with you last time that there's some people we know well enough that we know what the name of their goldfish is in their son's bedroom. I mean, that's how well we know them. And when it comes to this thing of spiritual meditation, it is that time that we get to know God. It's when God shares with us these wonderful things about God. It's a time for us to spend time in His presence, to know that He is there. Meditation gives us the opportunity to be near God. I've told the story many times about my Aunt Joyce. She used to babysit us when we were kids. And she wore a very, very distinct perfume. And we would say we could smell Aunt Joyce a block away. Not that she smelled bad. She didn't smell bad. But her perfume was just so strong. When she came in the room, you knew she was present. I hope that as believers, that we spend enough time with God that when He comes in the room, we know He's present. That's part of this concept of meditation, of spending time with God. I don't know. There's people I love to spend time with. I love to spend time with people, but you know, there's certain people in our lives that we just love to spend time with. One of them happens to be my wife. Go figure. But for me, I can sit by a campfire all by myself. But there's something dynamic about the fact when my wife comes out and sits right down beside me and we enjoy that together. Have you ever thought about the concept of taking a moment and sitting down right next to God? I think you have to ponder that for a moment. We'll say, well, Pastor Mike, that doesn't... Yes, he is everywhere. Everywhere he goes with us. When we wake up in the morning, he's there. When we go to bed at night, he's there. When we get in our car and go to work, he's there. It's probably a good thing. Even when we go to the coffee pot in the morning and can't see where the start button is, he's there. If we get in our concept, in our mind, this concept of spending time with God and meditating with Him is to take a moment in all those times and recognize we're sitting right next to God. That's a powerful thing. It's in those moments that we learn the deep things about God. And that's why meditation, thinking about the things of God, is so important in the life of the believer. We also discover in Psalms chapter 1, verse 2, shares with us, but His delight, it's talking about the believer, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. Now the law in the Old Testament represents the Word of God. The believer, the one who trusts in God, thinks about the Word of God day and night. Meditates. Takes a moment to intentionally, on purpose, think about the things of God. And so when we come to this spiritual discipline of meditation, it is intentionally taking a moment to think about the things of God. And I certainly hope this morning that meditation is part of your spiritual life, part of your spiritual disciplines. And as we've shared with you from the Lent Challenge, to add a new spiritual discipline to your spiritual journey this Easter season. If meditation isn't one of them, maybe this is your opportunity to begin to meditate before the Lord. And so we want to take a moment and share with you about meditation as a spiritual discipline in the life of the believer. Because I think that becomes very important. And here's what I've discovered to be true in the life of many Christians. To be honest, this is probably one of the hardest spiritual disciplines to practice. One of the hardest spiritual disciplines to practice. And you're probably saying, well, why is that? I think you probably know. Because meditation has a requirement. And we find that right here in Psalms 46:10. Be still. And so meditation requires stillness, quietness, pause, purposely. Not when we get a moment. Not when, hey, there's nothing happening. I think I'm going to think about godly things in this moment. When we talk about meditation, thinking about godly things, it requires stillness. It requires quietness. It requires pause. And the truth is, we often don't do well with these things. Life is crazy busy. If you haven't noticed that yet, we need to talk. Because you're doing something the rest of the world apparently isn't doing. If you're a parent, you have children. If you have kids in school, there's always something happening. If you're married, there's always something. Us guys call that the honey-do list. And we're not going to go any farther than that. There's always something. If you're living and breathing, there's always something. happening, requiring your attention. And if you own a cell phone, it's either ringing, buzzing, beeping, or doing something. And it never fails. Every time you think, you know what, I'm just going to pause here for a moment and I'm going to think about God. All those things happen at the same time. Every time. And so as we think about meditation in the believer's life, it has to be something that has to be intentional. There has to be a moment in the day. Where you say, I'm going to take this moment. I know it's often difficult to get away, but it's necessary to genuinely experience God at a deeper level. And I think that's important for us. The truth is, we all need a secret place, a quiet place to escape from the world. Matthew chapter 6, we've mentioned that several times in our spiritual disciplines, is because in Matthew chapter 6, we find that Jesus talks about the quiet place, the secret place, a few times. We all need that place. And Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. There's a purpose for that. It's not necessarily a particular room in your house, and it could be. I know people who have cleaned out their closet, and they use that for a prayer room, a meditation room, a place for them to escape, wherever it might be. But the concept is the room is your quiet place, your secret place, your place to get away from everything else that's going on. Just a thought, do not take your cell phone into your quiet place. It will cease to be your quiet place. But all of us need that place. And we need to shut the door. The concept of shutting the door is closing out everything else so you can simply spend time with God and pondering and thinking about godly things. Now that takes some discipline. That's why we refer to them as spiritual disciplines, to be able to do that. And everybody's quiet place, everybody's secret place is different. When I was pastoring at Johnstown, Ohio, there was a farmer that attended the church. His name was John. And he was a very kind and gracious man, and we deeply appreciated him. And he had a nice pond on his property, and it had Bob, nice fish, big fish. In fact, some of the biggest bass I've ever caught was caught in that pond, but that's not the point this morning. But that became one of my favorite places to be when I needed a quiet place to ponder the things of God or just to get away for a few minutes. I would go to the farm, I'd drive way back that field. And I'd park by that pond, I'd flip the tailgate of my truck down, and that was my quiet place. And just thought about the things of the Lord and listened to what God had to share with me. That's been one of my favorite quiet places. I have many other quiet places, but I believe in the life of the believer, if we're going to have the moment to think about godly things, just as Scripture says, we need a quiet place. We need a place where we can get away from everything for a little while. We see that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you openly. We have a wonderful privilege as believers, not only to pray and to fast and to be able to experience God in devotion, but God wants to invite us today in this moment into the quiet place where it's just us and Him. where we can experience a God moment. And I believe as believers, we need God moments in our life where we can smell, hear, taste, feel God. No, He's right here where I am. And we're in a private communication. It's a powerful moment where God shares with us and we experience God. So where do we start? If we've never done this thing of meditation, where do we begin? I shared with you last week and challenged you to spend time in devotion. If you've never done quiet time before the Lord, I believe the best place to start is right after you do your devotion, is just to take a few moments. Maybe only 5 minutes. And just spend it with the Lord. In fact, I would encourage you to spend 5 quiet minutes before the Lord. And just allow the Lord to share with you. And when you begin, even if you set your clock and look at your clock and say, okay, it's 5 minutes, it's amazing how long 5 quiet minutes feels like. You'll be in about a minute and say, that's been about, take some time. Spend with the Lord. This whole thing of meditation is not difficult to grasp. It's just difficult to do. It really is, when we talk about meditation, just spending some quiet time with the Lord. I would like to encourage you to take a few minutes this week and be still before the Lord and think about godly things. And if you take those few moments, you'll be practicing the spiritual discipline of meditation. Let's stand together this morning. Before we close in prayer, I'm gonna help us out. Try to help us out. And we're just gonna take a couple moments and we're going to be still before the Lord. Okay? We're gonna be still before the Lord. In this moment, just stop thinking about whatever you were thinking about. Hopefully you were thinking about the message. I hope. But you were probably thinking about McDonald's or pot roast, or be meddling here in a minute. But let's take a moment, put everything else aside, and let's just pause before the Lord. That means we're not going to move. We're not going to fix our shirt or our glasses or our hair or whatever it is. Check our cell phone, none of that stuff. We're just going to be still before the Lord. Let's do that. Just a couple moments. That was 1 moment, 1 minute of stillness before the Lord. That was 2 minutes. You can look up now if you choose. 2 minutes. This week you can say, I meditated for 2 minutes. How hard was that for you to just stand still and not do this or do that? This thing of meditation definitely is a spiritual discipline. But I want you to know that that is the moment we really get to experience God. And so I would encourage you this week, just take a few minutes. We challenge you 5 minutes of stillness before the Lord. And just think about Him. You'd be amazed at what those moments can bring to our life. It's in those moments we experience the Creator of the universe. And you know what's more powerful than that? He wants to spend that 5 minutes with you. That's good stuff. I encourage you this week to spend some quiet time with the Lord. Clayton, if you would you dismiss us this morning in a word of prayer?